Okay, hi Charles.
Hi Raphael.
How are you?
I'm good. We are in an echoey room here at Palazzo Pucci in Florence, Italy. Raphael, why are we at Palazzo Pucci?
Because the new school that we open is actually managed by, as you know, Laura Kini, and this area we use it to do events and parties and so on. So the school and this area are two different sections of their business.
So this is an events business and a school that are under an owner who has this facility inside of the palace of the Pucci family, connected to Emilio Pucci, the designer. Emilio Pucci, the business, is also in the palace. They have things
going
on here.
Actually, this is not from Emilio Pucci. This is from the County Pucci.
Oh.
And it was given many, many, many years ago to the church. So this area doesn't belong anymore to the family.
But the family did own it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
The old building here is from the Pucci family. So they gave this stuff to this area to the church, and now the church actually kept it closed for about 50 years, more or less. And now they gave it to an association to use it so that instead of being closed, they use it for different purposes. And so this person that is actually a friend of mine got the opportunity to open this business, and with the partner, again, Laura Kini from T-Project, as you know.
T-Project showroom in New York is the Tuscan materials, the leather and the polyurethane leather materials.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for that stuff in New York City, T-Project showroom is definitely a place to go.
So Laura, she has been the manager of one of the best schools in Florence for the past 11 years. And after this friend of mine got the opportunity to open a school in here, we actually decided to do that. So now we have two schools, and one of which is actually here in Palazzo Pucci in downtown Florence, which is very interesting because, as you saw, is actually on the street level. So we have a lot of people stopping by, looking inside, taking picture. Sometimes they're asking me if I can repair some belts or stuff like that. And I'm saying, I'm sorry, we are a school, but eventually we can do something.
So this is wonderful. I mean, you are not far from the train station in downtown Florence. You're in the shadow of the Domo, the giant church dome that's at the center of the city. And it's a beautiful new workspace. You have all the heavy machinery that you'd need for leather, which I think most schools that deal with leather don't have all the pieces, and you have all the pieces there.
Well, we have, let's say that basically we have a full factory. Of course, we're missing the automatic machine because of the space, as you saw. Location, as you were saying, is probably the most fantastic thing here because we are in downtown Florence, 10 minutes walking distance from the train station. I am actually coming from Bologna every day, which is about 60 miles, and it takes me 40 minutes to get here. I walk 10 minutes in downtown, and it's just fantastic.
That's a good commute.
Oh, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. I feel like a little bit like being a New Yorker coming from New Jersey, but let's say that what you look around is not exactly the same, because I'm walking by Piazza San Lorenzo, and then, as you were saying, the Duomo. We have the Duomo one street away, so it's very fantastic. It's very nice.
So when I was walking over this direction from the train station, there was kind of a leather market in the street, but those are not the leathers from made in Italy.
No. Those are, most of them are actually made in Italy, made in Tuscany.
Okay.
As you probably know, we have a lot of Chinese, like everybody in Italy, and they make a lot of, majority of those bags are made in Italy by the Chinese for this kind of a market. Of course, then you have the good stores that they have, the nice bags. There is Mercato di San Lorenzo, very well known, because these products are 100% made in Italy. Then again, not all the time from Italians, but still made in Italy. That's the way it works.
Yeah. So can you talk to me about what real leather is? And I think there's only one brand that's doing all real leather still, right?
Well, real leather, There is a big mistake when we talk about leather. There is a big confusion about leather. Leather is actually 100% recycled leftover from the food industry. So now imagine all the cows that we actually kill for the food, for the meat. Imagine all the skin that instead of using it, we're going to throw it away. That would be a huge waste.
It's also toxic.
Absolutely.
You don't want that in a landfill.
No, probably no. You would have to burn it like when we burn bodies, but it's not exactly the same stuff. So we recycle. The leather is actually 100% recycled material. And not only that, the good leather, as you were saying, like for example, Hermes bag, which is probably today the last one that is making bags only made out of, fully made out of leather. Those bags are going to last forever. This is not something that after a year or two is going to go in the garbage. So you have no problem to recycling anything because, again, all of us have probably a grandmother that owns a bag or two that are 60, 70 years old. So if you're using nice, good leather, they would basically last forever. That probably the best product. I'm talking about leather, I'm talking about shoes. You know, the fashion industry today is going so fast that we say that the customer needs something new every 6 months, or I have seen companies making new collection every month, which to me it's useless. But again, not only is useless because I don't think that really the customer needs a so quick turnover of products. But the worst part is that you buy a product, and I'm not talking about only bags, I'm talking about shoes, I'm talking about garment, whatever. You buy something that is going to last 6 months, a year, and then you have to throw it away. And then what do we do with all this stuff? Is it going in the ocean? It doesn't do any good. You know, you think that you're saving few alligators because you don't make alligator bags, but on the other side, you're killing hundreds of thousands of fishes because all the plastic goes in the water. So something doesn't work.
Well, so the leather bags that contain leather, real cow leather, that you're saying are not real leather, they're not full leather, they split the skin. They kind of shave off layers of the leather and make many bags because they're putting it onto microfiber structures.
Well, unfortunately, most of the big brands, and not only the big brands today, again, the problem is that the fashion industry is going so fast that even when they make the leather, they don't have the time to do it correctly.
Okay.
So to have a nice product and to make things easier. Now, remember that we talk about millions of pieces a year that we have to make here and different materials, but at the end, everything needs to be done quickly. So what is happening today is that most of this material, the leather, is not exactly very, very good leather.
This is part of the tanning process. They skip steps, they skip aging.
Exactly. Yeah. This is part of the tanning process. So the leather is not as it used to be, of course. It means that after you use it a little bit, it starts wrinkling and doesn't look nice. So what they're doing today, majority of the big brands are using what we call a microfiber, which is a reinforcement that is in the bag. So it's a fabric, nothing more than a fabric. And then it's double with the leather. So you're thinking that you're buying a very nice, good-looking leather bag. But at the end, if you have a bag that you spend $3,000-$4,000 and after 6 months it comes apart or a year, you should think, how can it be possible? My grandmother's bag is still there. And this one that I bought for so much money is already coming apart. Then you go to the stores and they're going to tell you that it's a normal wearing of the product, but it's not exactly like that.
So I'm kind of thinking of this like if you go to a construction place and you buy a door, mm-hmm. and you think of a door from 50 years ago, 100 years ago, it's solid hardwood. And today it's composites and there's gaps and there's fillers and you can punch your fist through most doors that are made today. But if you tried that with a door that was made 100 years ago, you would break through your knuckles.
Yes.
So this is what they're doing with the leather now.
It's about the same concept.
And Is it difficult for a brand to acquire the real leather, the full leather now? Can you still get it from suppliers if you ask for the right thing?
No, of course you can get it. The problem is that they need to do always more and more profit. So, you know, there was on YouTube not long ago, I have seen somebody was taking a close look to a product. I'm not going to say the brand, but at the end, what came out is that out of 1,000, 10% is the actual value of the product you're buying. Let's say €1,000 bag or dollars bag is actually worth 100. Then you have another 40% that goes in marketing, advertisement, and management. And then 50% is about the overhead of the actual brand. You were talking about the doors. I think about the kitchen, for example. You know, the old kitchen would last forever because the old kitchen will last forever. And today, after 10 years, if you're lucky, 10 years, probably 5 years, they come apart. And they goes for everything. And trust me, the handbag is not the worst market. Imagine the garment when you buy a T-shirt that is probably made in Pakistan or Bangladesh, wherever, that the brand will pay probably €2, let's say, and they sell it for 80, 70. I mean, the markup is just ridiculous. But that's the way the fashion goes today. You know, most of the customers, they don't really care too much anymore about the quality they're buying. They care more about the brand they're buying. They want to show the logo, they want to show the hardware that says, if I can say some names, you know, they can say Vuitton, they can say Gucci, they can say Fendi. You're not really into the quality. You know, before, and you know, you and I met already a long time ago. As you know, I come from a family that has been doing this job forever, since my grandfather. I remember back in the 70s when I was going to school and two of my uncles had a store. I remember that, you know, you would see the difference between the product, and because we didn't have internet, it was very expensive to do, to be on a newspaper or whatever. The only way to sell the product was the quality. Not too much the price, it was the quality, because a customer wanted a good quality product. Then the price, of course, matters up to a certain point. Today, especially in the last 5-10 years, quality doesn't matter anymore to the customer.
Can the customer recognize quality? Do they know what it looks like anymore?
Not anymore.
Because it seems like if you make a leather bag, a quote-unquote leather bag, and it's got that microfiber filler, and you touch it on the outside, it feels like thick leather.
Absolutely.
Even though it's got this padding in there. How do you know?
You will not know. This is a consideration I was doing with a friend a long time ago. We always say that the customer today doesn't understand the quality anymore. Well, I think there is a easy reason for that. As I was saying before, the products in the store, they were all high-quality products. So as soon as you had something that was not high-quality product, a customer would recognize it. Today, majority of the product you would see in a store are medium-low quality. If you give in something that is high-quality, so a nice leather that, being leather, can get scratched, can fear the water, and so on, they will tell you, well, this is not good leather. Well, think about it. You and I have different color skin. If we go under the sun, we change the color and so on and so forth. So the leather comes from a live animal. So a real leather would have the same problem. It gets scratched, changes the color with time, and so on and so forth. If it doesn't do that, it means that there is a big coating either of pigment on top. It could be coated with some sort of fillers and plastic. So this is, again, as you were saying, today probably a customer would not recognize a good product versus a bad product. He would actually think that it's a bad product. So which is weird. Worse than bags, I would say the shoes today it's a nightmare, because shoes is not only the problem with the quality, you also have to put your feet inside. And when you buy shoes that after 2 hours you are in pain, it doesn't mean the shoes have to be like that, because before shoes were not like that. You know, probably they were I remember I bought some shoes from a little store in center of Italy, in the Marche area. They make like 20 pairs of shoes a day, still today. I bought these shoes at that time in the factory, the equivalent today of 200 euros, more or less, okay? For the first month and a half, the shoes were a little uncomfortable because they were hard, not because they were badly made. Well, I can tell you that after that, I wore those shoes for almost 10 years, and they were like having nothing on your feet. It was real leather, the sole was in real veg leather, so the foot would breathe without any problem. You wouldn't have, again, you would use the shoes for the whole day, and you would not feel you had shoes on your feet. Today, you buy even expensive shoes, after 2-3 hours, you can't take it anymore. So that's even worse to me.
American Fashion Podcast is a bit like a community radio station for the fashion industry. That's what it was intended to be from the start. We do it for you, and we want you involved in the conversation. We all need the fashion industry community to continue the conversation. When we do our interviews each week, this is a beginning. And if it's to do any good, now it has to spread. If you like something someone says here, if some concept resonates with you, let your community and colleagues know. Reach out and share. This is a community thing. We are at AF Pod on Twitter, and on Instagram, we're at American Fashion Show. If you really like an episode, please take a screenshot and tag us so other people can learn about the things we talk about. Not enough people are exposed to these important conversations. We need your help to spread the word. Tell someone or a lot of people about this show, about what we discuss on this show, about ethical practices in our industry. Put a note about something real that we talk about in your newsletter, on your blog, on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. If you are a writer, please write reactions to these conversations. And if there is an issue that just burns you up, if we are looking at an issue wrong, please give us a shout. Let's have that discussion. 646-979-8709 is our voicemail line, and info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com is our email address. After this episode ends, we've done what we can, and it's on you to continue the conversation.
What do you think about the pushback on the leather tanning industry with the water being polluted, that in so many countries the rivers are running with the heavy metals from the tanning process, and the employees are working closely and touching the heavy metals?
Well, in Europe, we don't have this problem. We have solved this problem many years ago. Even if it's chrome tan, waters are clean by 99%. And you can go on the website of Linea Pelle. You can read down everything that they do, the test on the water everywhere, and so on and so forth. And as you know, Europe, mostly the biggest tannery are in Italy, in France, in Germany, and some in Spain. Of course, then we have a problem of what is not made in Europe. When you go to Asia, mostly is where you have the big problem. I work about 3 times a year. I go to India, and I go to Kolkata, close to the tannery area. Well, I can tell you that it stinks very bad. And if you have something metal close to, let's say, about half a mile from the river, after two days, it gets all rusted because of that. But that's another problem that is not here. You can go to the tanneries here, you would not see this problem whatsoever. And again, the laws in Europe are very strict. And still today, the chrome-free tanning is more polluting than the chrome tanning. I was just last week with...
This is the vegetable tanning versus the metal tanning.
No, this is the chrome tanning.
Well, you're saying the chrome tanning is less polluting than the veg tanning?
No, the chrome tanning is less polluting than the one that says metal-free.
Ah, okay.
Okay, because to get to there, to that point, is actually... Now, I'm not a technical, but I was talking, as I was saying last week, I had a 3 days meeting with the tannery. While we were at lunch, we were talking about these things, and these two ladies, they were telling me that what we call it chrome-free tanning is actually more polluting than the chrome, because the chrome is cleaned by 99%, as I was saying. But again, there are numbers. You go to Linea Pelle website and dig inside the website, and I don't remember, I saw it the other day, but it was in Italian, so I have no idea in English how they translate all the part of the website. But you can actually take a look and see that all the check they do on the water, on the tanneries, you can be sure that it's not polluting as much as people think at all. You know, we talk about a lot about leather, but as I showed you before, we don't talk about the plastic, you know, plastic bag, plastic bottles, and so on and so forth. No one goes in front of Coca-Cola company and say, stop using the bottles in plastic, because I was reading on National Geographic, they make something like 800 million plastic bottles a day, something like that, worldwide. Now, they say that they're going to recycle all the plastic by 2025, something like that. Well, 2025 is not, it seems very close by, but it's very far when you make 100 million pieces a day in plastic. And all this stuff goes in the ocean. And then once in a while, we hear that they found a whale that is dead, and inside the stomach, they have 27 kilos, which is about 55 pounds of plastic inside the body. So, you know, there are many things that we should rethink sometimes. To me, coming from a leather industry and from a family that has been doing this job forever, I would think that I am less polluting if I'm making a very nice product that will last another 50, 60 years, so it's not going to be disposed in the garbage, rather than using what we call ecological materials, eco leather, whatever, and then in a year or two it's going to be in the garbage. So, you know, do your consideration.
Yeah. What do you think about these laws they're trying to put into place in New York and California about no fur and no leather with hair on and no sheepskins to be allowed to be sold in the city at all?
What for? What is the point, the purpose? I think it's only a marketing thing from politicians, because that doesn't make any sense to me. Fur, I might agree with you that it's not nice to kill an animal that is not used to be eaten, on one side. But on the other side, again, think about the fur of your grandmother. Probably the fur that is in the wardrobe is 60, 70 years old and is still there. There are some countries where the cold is so cold that is the only way you can protect yourself. We have used the animal skins since ever, and we never had a problem. Now that we use all these eco materials, well, now we are having problems. So something, you know, still there. Think about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly the furs, the artificial furs that are made from oil are not so good for the
oil.
Planet. I mean, that you get away from the first ethical problem, and then you stumble into a minefield of other ethical problems when you do that. But there's new stuff coming. There's new materials. Yeah.
Because on one side, you're killing some animals. And again, I understand and I agree that it's not fair probably to kill animals that are killed only because of the skin on one side. But on the other side, we're killing much more animals when we throw away our synthetic jackets and so on. You know, just the other day, my wife took out from the wardrobe, she took out from the closet, she took out a leather jacket, a white leather jacket that she bought about 15 years ago. And the friend said, oh, that's a nice jacket. I never saw it. Is it new? No, it's 15 years old. It looks new. Yeah, I know, because it was good real leather. And that's the point. Good materials will not, probably on one side, as you say, we have to kill an animal on one, or at the beginning. But we're saving way more after, because we are not throwing the stuff away. Most of them, we're not throwing away. Then again, the fashion industry need new things and so on and so forth. So you cannot, you're not going to hold your jacket for 30, 40 years. But overall, when you buy something that is a, that has a classy look, well, technically you can use it for a long time. You know, you still see, you know, classic, again, classic shoes, you can use it for 10, 15 years if you are able to, 20 years, no problem. A bag, you can, besides, think, the new generation, they're looking for vintage product because they never seen the stuff, they never wear that. It's a different look. So at the end, if you carry your bag for 4 years, it's still a good material, it's still a good leather. If you wear your bag for 40 years, it's still a nice bag. You know, if it's not too fashion, of course, if it's not too fashion.
If someone wants information about the leather school that you've created, the website is filofirenze.it, filofirenze.it. Is there anything else that people should know about the school? You take about 7-8 students each time, is that right?
Usually we take about 6 to 7 students in this class here, because these are very short classes. They're about usually 5 weeks. So if we have too many people, you know, we don't have much space, that is not very easy. So we try to keep it up to 6. The website is actually under reconstruction, but most probably soon it's going to be ready, everything is ready. The website is already there, but you're not going to see the section of the school yet. However, you can send an email to Giovanni at filofirenze.it. And he will answer any question you might have. But again, in a matter of a few weeks, the website is going to be on, and you will see everything. You will see the picture of the school. You will see videos of the school. You will see the bags on the that our students have made before. So it's, again, it's a nice location. It's a nice place. It's like a little family, because we are, like yesterday, the first day, we just started a new class. We went to lunch all together in a restaurant here, and being in Florence is so nice. You know, I'm going to take them to the Mercato di San Lorenzo that I'm sure they're going to love. And around here, it's full of restaurant, bars, and whatever you want. And even at night, you can have a good life.
What kind of students would you recommend to come to the school? What should people be looking for when they come to take your class?
Well, like now, we have 5 of our students are coming from Parsons School. So those who really, they don't need to become leather maker, most probably. I don't think they're going to make their own bags or their own factory, most probably. But at least those who are starting to be designers, they should know how to make a bag before designing. I think it's a very important process, because it's like a chef. If you don't know the difference between garlic and onions, potatoes and oranges, you're not going to cook something good, because you don't know what you have in your hands. To me, it's the same. You know, you are a designer, but you don't know anything about material and construction. Well, there is not much you can design to me. And I have to say that in the past 10 years that I've been working a lot with new designers, most of the time I see that they're not prepared. They, big schools, they're very interesting on one side, because they teach a lot of the design part, but they don't go in deep into the technical part. So to me, it's just a work that is done by half, because if, again, you don't know technical, you don't know materials, you don't know the history of the product. And I'm not talking about only the bags, I'm talking about everything. If you don't know the history of the product, the easy things that these students do, they go in a vintage store, they look at something and say, oh, this is fantastic, I've never seen it. Yeah, but it's there, because it has been made 50 years ago. And they copy just exactly the bag they see. So they would, to me, it's very interesting. And to me, it's very, you know, I am over 50 now, and teaching to the new generation the love and the passion of this work is pretty much interesting, pretty much nice. Keeps me young because I'm always with young people.
Well, I think you have to get back to class, so thank you for taking the time to talk to me about this.
It was very nice to see you again. I hope to see you again soon. And maybe when the website is going to be on and you can come and take some videos, that would be also lovely.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast, a weekly look under the hood of the fashion business. And yes, the oil is leaking. And yes, it's possible we have no breaks. To get on the guest list for our live events, go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com and look for the live shows link. Please continue the conversation from the show on social media. On Twitter, we're at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we're at American Fashion Show. And I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. I meet people all the time who are so excited to hear about this show. A lot of people have heard about it, but not everybody, not enough people know this show exists, and we need your help to spread the word. Please do so. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, there's a Be a Guest form on the AmericanFashionPodcast.com website, but it helps if you've already started a discussion with us through social media. For direct comments, our voicemail line is 646-979-8709, or email us info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and other episodes of the series, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.